Welcome to Census Pod, Census Cultural's podcast program. In December 2017, Census Cultural organized a historic trip to Iran. In this trip, scientists from UC Davis and the Mind Institute joined Census Cultural to examine the development of research in Iran on autism and neurodevelopmental disorders. Together with its representative organization in Iran, Shukrani Mavidat, the Census Cultural team was able to pay a visit to the city of Shiraz, located in central Iran. Shiraz also hosts one of the region's best medical programs at the Shiraz University of Medical Sciences. While there, Census Cultural met with Dr. Mohammad Nami, the Vice Chancellor for Research Affairs and the head of the Department of Neuroscience at the School of Advanced Medical Sciences and Technologies. Dr. Nami, who is with us today for this podcast program, discussed opportunities with Census Cultural for the joint development of research projects and the organization of scientific events. We are delighted to have him with us today. Welcome, Dr. Nami, to our program. I want to start by asking you about your position at Shiraz University of Medical Sciences and the research you do and how it is cross-functionally relevant to the field of autism and neurodevelopmental disorders.
Hello. Let me first thank you and Census Cultural for this interview. I'm a medical doctor by profession and a clinical cognitive neuroscientist working on sleep disorders. Currently, I head the Department of Neuroscience at Shiraz University of Medical Sciences. And actually, in the past few years, together with my colleagues, we've been producing a series called The Brain Awareness and Multidisciplinary Autism Research. Our team works on neurodevelopmental and sleep-related issues concerning autism and neurodevelopmental predicaments, which are research areas which Census Cultural is actively promoting. Well, the modern neuroscience research has seen a tremendous transformation. The multidisciplinary nature of neuroscience research and practice plays an important part in this transformation. We actually focus on medical, cognitive, and behavioral aspects of neurodevelopmental disorders and autism in particular. The use of basic and fundamental research models in autism and the employment of advanced neuroimaging techniques and behavioral analysis, also using the media-rich computer platforms and interventional neurotechnological tools, have enabled personalized approaches in the treatment of individuals with autism and other neurodevelopmental predicaments. This advances diagnostics and future potential therapies.
We know that a part of your research and practice focuses on cognitive and behavioral aspects of neurodevelopmental disorders. Could you elaborate on that?
Sure. Thank you for bringing that up. As you might know, cognitive neuroscience and related clinical disciplines focus on decoding mechanisms involved in neurocognitive and behavioral patterns. This in turn helps address neuropsychiatric and mental issues in patients and healthy individuals. So I would be putting it like that, that with children with neurodevelopmental delay, you know, they might experience motor developmental delay, for example, or they might have like verbal developmental delay or both, or even they face what is called a global developmental delay that we currently in our practice, we refer to that as GDD. So our work on neurogenetic and environmental causes of autism goes hand in hand with cognitive science and neurofunctional therapies. And by that, I believe these are the areas that Census Cultural can advance awareness on through educational activities at the public level.
What exactly are neurodevelopmental disorders? And where do autism spectrum disorders fit on the list?
Autism spectrum disorders represent a range of brain disorders that are characterized by restricted patterns of behavior and impairments in social communications and interactions. These disorders share common origins and features on neurodevelopmental disorders, and they are classified as a spectrum disorder because symptoms and severity may vary among individuals that have them.
What are the symptoms of autism spectrum disorders? What is autistic disorder? And what about Asperger's syndrome?
Symptoms or behaviors of autism spectrum disorder can range from mild to severe and may seem to appear gradually or suddenly. A typical development may be observed from birth or more commonly become noticeable during the 12 to 36 month period of child's age. And symptoms include social deficits and communication difficulties, repetitive behaviors and sensory difficulties, and even unusual abilities and skills. On the other hand, children with Asperger's may not initiate or sustain a conversation easily or do not compensate for their limited language capacity by using nonverbal means of communication. And as such, limiting their peer relationships would be one of the main issues that they have. Similar to autism, children with Asperger's do not share enjoyment or interest with others.
What are the other autism spectrum disorders besides autism and Asperger's syndrome?
Other disorders on the spectrum includes pervasive developmental disorder not otherwise specified and two rarer disorders, including childhood disintegrative disorder and Rett syndrome. Well, children with pervasive disorders demonstrate symptoms similar to autistic patients, but they do not meet all the criteria for the disorder. Children with the childhood disintegrative disorder, which affects more boys than girls, would develop normally until approximately the first 2 years of life. The average onset is symptoms is between 3 to 4 years, but then they regress in most areas and continue worsening. Well, specifically, they experience a pronounced loss of motor, language, and social intellectual skills, and they also lose bowel and bladder control, and all seizures may even occur.
Who develops autism spectrum disorders?
Autism spectrum disorders are usually evident by the age of 3, though diagnosis may be made as early as 12 to 18 months and as late as 4 to 6 years or even later. And according to some epidemiological surveys, about 1 in 59 children have an autism spectrum disorder. So the disorders are 3 to 4 times more common in boys than girls. However, girls with these disorders tend to have more severe symptoms. Some children will need ongoing supervision, while others with the right support may pursue higher education and fulfilling jobs. These disorders affect people of all racial, ethnic, and socioeconomical groups.
What about the diagnostic part? At Census Cultural, we promote early diagnosis to treat autism and neurodevelopmental disorders.
That's very important. We need to translate our science into early intervention solutions, and so that's what almost all the scientists are doing. We're now trying to incorporate eye tracking technology and quantitative electroencephalogram, or QEEG, in diagnosis. It is hoped that based on the experimental evidence on a somewhat 30-minute procedure by a trained technologist and a detailed analysis, we can do what a multi-hour diagnostic assessment used to do by employing mainstream tools and approaches. Through timely diagnosis, a team of expert clinicians can substantially and meaningfully improve the lives of children with autism. Although there is no magic bullet treatment to date, It helps with symptoms improvement through medical, behavioral, and cognitive approaches.
Tell us, please, about available treatments that you work on.
Our research includes genetic and behavioral studies on the zebrafish model of autism. These are actually the preclinical experiments which are expected to open new windows to potential therapies. On the other hand, in our clinical work, besides pharmacological and non-pharmacological therapies, the efficacy of therapies is based on neurofeedback training, electrical stimulation, neurofunctional therapies, and also cognitive rehab and speech language therapy. These are predominantly the domains that we currently work on.
If I hear you right, you and your team spend time with the parent and child together to help the parent give the child a caring environment. Give us some examples.
Right. We deploy a parent-mediated treatment approach. We have delivered this treatment together with the assistance of Census Cultural over the past few years. The organization has offered insights and assistance that support our activities in the field. We take this approach seriously because every single second throughout a week, the child is going to be diverging. So, in a sense, we treat the parents. We train parents to use everyday experiences, what they do with their babies every day, through all of the routines, and in order to engineer their social engagement that is crucial. So we use a particular form of treatment which is called early social interaction. On the other hand, we also use the approach to observe the parenting skills and deliver training in the field. And we do the same thing as children grow older with their caregivers and trainers at school. When the environment becomes the daycare center, we train the daycare providers. When it becomes preschool, we train the preschool teachers. So, in a sense, we empower people and groups to become architects of our own community. And it makes no sense at all for us to create treatment for which there is going to be very limited success.
How does autism impact cognition in adults?
Well, strictly speaking, some research findings speculate that autism spectrum disorders affect different aspects of cognition at different stages of life, with at least some cognitive skills, such as the verbal fluency, delayed initially, but eventually catching up with those in adults without autism spectrum disorder. Meanwhile, further studies will be needed to verify this. This tells us that we are still at the earliest stages of understanding autism and its cognitive impacts.
What are some of the areas that you think Census Cultural could focus on to expand the research and education on autism and neurodevelopmental disorders?
There is a great deal of work to be done to advance the science of autism and research and clinical studies in the field. The reason is that there is no one treatment for the autism spectrum disorder. However, it is widely accepted that the earliest interventions allow the best outcomes. Additionally, stem cell research is also on the horizon. Census Cultural and its cross-disciplinary team have a track record of goodwill to promote educational and support on autism and also to support academic institutions that work in the field. Actually, Census Cultural's ability to reach out to communities and experts is an asset that few other organizations working in the field have. Therefore, I definitely look forward to continually support Census Cultural to strengthen its research projects and to produce results which can improve the quality of life and functionality of individuals with neurodevelopmental disorders.
Thank you for joining our podcast, Census Pod.
Thank you for having me.